Americans are fascinated with witchcraft, vampires, and the occult. It permeates our society from the seemingly harmless Harry Potter and Buffy the Vampire Slayer to dark movies and books that explore demons and evil. Video games and even toys and fast food meals are examples of the way that the occult has been marketed to America. What does this say about us? More importantly, what does God say about this fascination with sorcery and witchcraft? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Welcome to Good News Radio. Today we're going to discuss a very important question and problem that is facing our society, and that is witchcraft, Wicca. How harmless are some of these things? How important are they? We have here to discuss this issue with us today a regular on the program, Pastor Steve Myers. Steve, thanks for being with us.
Good to be here, Gary.
Well, let's get right into what we want to talk about today. First of all, explain the Harry Potter phenomenon.
Well, most people in America are certainly familiar with Harry Potter. There's a whole series of books and now movies as well that were written by J.K. Rowling. They're about a young boy, just the average, normal 11-year-old boy, who suddenly finds out that his parents were witches and wizards. And so when he finds all these things out, he finds out his parents were killed by this evil wizard, and so he wants to take advantage of his heritage. In a sense, he enrolls in a special school called Hogwarts, and it's a school for witches. And so that kind of sets the stage for the whole scenario of adventures and getting into witchcraft and sorcery. And so the first book, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, it was released in England as the Philosopher's Stone. And of course, if you go back to ancient alchemy and lore, medieval sorcery, there was a stone that was called the Philosopher's Stone that was able to turn plain old metals, base metals, into gold. And so there's direct connections here between the reality of the Middle Ages and philosophy, sorcery, the whole thing, and J.K. Rowling's writing. So she starts out as an interesting, you know, kind of catchy little book that begins to deal with witchcraft and sorcery and draws you into a whole scenario of books that lead you down that direction.
You know, it is important that fantasy is good for children. Not all fantasy is bad. Children need to learn how to read, and sometimes it's fantasy that helps children learn to read because they're fascinated with it, and their imaginations are so open at earlier ages. But is Harry Potter just another set of books that help children learn to read, develop their imaginations, or is this something else?
Well, it is something else. I mean, there's no doubt that Rowling is a clever writer. She's imaginative. She comes up with some really enticing stories. The kids want to read it. They want to get into it, and it's fun. And there's thousands of people that line up the day the books go on sale. So it is certainly an amazing series of events that go on. But the real question is, does it really matter how clever or how imaginative or even how interesting they are if the stories revolve around something that is ungodly? And that's really the point. What do they center on? I mean, the main character, Harry Potter, he's a kid who's learning the arts of witchcraft. He's learning the arts of sorcery. And so you can read the books, and there's a great deal of information, spells, chants, the whole thing about the black arts. It's not just a simple thing. I mean, J.K. Rowling, she did her homework. She got into it, and she knows her subject. You read the books, they're filled with it. You know, they're not just fluff.
But I mean, when you say a spell, I mean, you know, on a movie or something, some witch will pretend to give a spell, and it's just fantasy. But what you're saying is, when she did her homework, that this is real spells?
Absolutely. It's authentic. Maybe that's the best word. These are authentic things. She takes real spells, real chants, Real things that you can look up on the internet.
In other words, that witches or Wiccans actually use.
Absolutely. And so what she does is she takes those things and she coats it in, what would you say, a veneer of enchantment. It's fun. There's neat things that happen, interesting stories. And so you sugarcoat these really black arts with some fun, exciting, interesting scenarios all around that. So, of course, kids are going to be interested in it because it's fun. It's interesting. There's exciting things happening in the stories. Kids that are just normal, typical kids are getting into exciting situations where you're dealing with sorcery and you're dealing with demons or you're dealing with wizards and witches and things like that. So is that going to be interesting? Yeah, absolutely. But is it right? I mean, it's fun to talk about friendship and loyalty and, you know, I've got my best boyfriend and my best girlfriend and we're going to get into all these adventures and it's going to be fun and exciting. We're going to have some tough times and how are we going to get out of this one? But when you get down to really what's behind all of that, it's not just simple reading material. There's a lot of black arts and the whole scenario of Wicca and witchcraft and sorcery involved in it all.
But okay, but, you know, I mean, fantasy is a part of a normal child's world. So is this really dangerous, or is it harmful to children?
Yeah, well, that's the question. How about something that's simple and fun and no ulterior motives, nothing beneath the surface? That would be fun. That's fantasy. That's fantasy. Now, there's a difference between fantasy and reality, and I think that's the hard connection to make because it is fun, it is exciting, it does get kids to read. Are there good things about it? Sure, those are positive things. But what's real behind it? It's not just a fantasy. This is reality. There are real witches. There are real Wiccans. There are real sorcerers. There are real people who practice these things and don't take it just for fun. They take it as a real thing. And you can read the Bible. Look at your Bible and see what it says about witches and sorcery. It's a real thing in God's eyes. It's a real thing in people's eyes. In fact, some Wiccans have said, oh, they've stolen our religion from us. So they don't take it as just a fantasy world. They take it as a real, serious thing. And so we've got to protect our kids and watch out for them amongst all this thing that just looks like fun and excitement.
Because Wicca is a religion, isn't it?
It is a real religion. And so it is not just fluff. It's not just fun and excitement. J.K. Rowling put that scenario on it, that surface coating. But when you get under the surface, there's a whole nother world that God calls the darker side of reality.
Right. I mean, we're not alarmingly saying don't let your children read this because they're all going to go off and become witches, but we are saying that this needs to be looked at by Christians.
Right. How is it affecting them? What is their perspective? What is their perspective on truth and reality and deception? That's what we have to watch out for.
We'll be back to discuss with Steve Myers more about concepts of Wicca, witchcraft, right after this.
Why does so much conflict, violence, and downright evil permeate our societies? Why such chaos and confusion for the majority of mankind? Things do not just happen without someone or something causing them to happen. You can know the cause of this world's problems and the underlying reason for so many of the difficulties you face in your own life. Our free booklet, Is There Really a Devil?, will help you understand the real cause of all these evils, and more importantly, what you can do about it. Our free booklet, Is There Really a Devil?, will help you understand the incredible truth about what lies ahead for all humanity. Call for your copy right now. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil? There is no cost or obligation, and it may change your life for the better. Ask for your copy today by calling 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800 866-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We've been discussing the effects of the occult with the pastor of the United Church of God, Steve Myers. Let's get down to more serious things than just Harry Potter here. When we talk about the occult, what exactly are we talking about?
Well, you're talking about Wicca, most specifically, or witchcraft. You're also talking about astrology or sorcery. These are things where they practice rituals, sometimes magicians, enchantments, charms, spells. The Bible sometimes calls it soothsaying, contact with the dead, divination, prognostication, all those synonyms that are kind of describing the same type of thing. Necromancy is a part of that. Spiritualism, the astrology and stargazing, all of those are part of this whole philosophy, this whole approach, and most specifically a religion of Wicca or witchcraft.
In other words, it has to do with that people believe they can interact with a real spirit world and receive power and use that power?
That's right. And not all bad. Many focus on the good elements of spiritualism, that they feel that there's a positive energy from the spirit world, even though it's not a biblical approach to things.
Right.
They wouldn't say that it's dark or it's evil, because they want to get in contact with the good side of things, the good spirits or the good demons,
right,
and use that power for good. Like in the Harry Potter stories, he's more for the good side of things.
Yeah. Now, of course, there are a lot of movies. It seems like a fascination Hollywood has with demons. When we watch movies about demons, is that just another form of entertainment?
It's not. Plain and simple, it is not. There is a difference between fantasy and reality. When you talk about the occult, that is a real thing. Sorcery and witchcraft aren't fantasy. Now, Hollywood's taken it and balled it up into an entertainment package,
right,
you know? And so it's like, wow, this is great entertainment. But it's not. When you just talk to a witch, someone who takes it seriously, go on the internet and do a little bit of a search, and you'll find that it is a serious religion. And even though it's not necessarily the same all across the board when it comes to witches and the way they practice their religion, they vary from group to group and that sort of thing. But they honor nature as sacred. They look at things differently, that there's, you know, polytheistic gods, many different gods, or everything is God, or the earth is God. And all of those things are contained in a religious approach to sorcery and witchcraft, not just a simple fantasy. So there is an extreme difference between those things.
That's important to know, too. I mean, I think witches, you know, even children's stories of Hansel and Gretel had a, you know, witch in it and so forth. There's a huge difference between that and this reality that's out there. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of people who claim to be members of Wicca, who are witches, who are warlocks, who actually try to influence our children.
And those are people that would be offended by you saying, oh, this is just fantasy. They would be totally offended,
yes,
by that.
Yeah.
And they're offended by the fact that Hollywood has taken this. They've taken my religion from me. This is serious. This is something we do. This is something we worship. We worship and we practice this. It's not just a simple fantasy in that sense. So do Wiccans practice magic? Yes, they do. Do they cast spells? Yes, they do. Are there charms? Yes, there are. They might consider it white magic and not black magic, but there is contemporary sorcery. It's not just a thing of the past or a thing of Hollywood. It's a real thing that they can manipulate natural forces to do different things, to have power, to achieve a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a raise at work, you name it. And there's spells and charms and different things that they can practice in order to help bring about, you know, whatever their objective might be. And so it's a part of their religion.
I was just talking to someone not too long ago that was a pagan and practiced certain things and has become a Christian. And it was interesting to get his viewpoint of how pagans look at Christianity to a certain extent. Of course, there are people who call themselves pagans, and it's a very growing group of people in the United States, and they're connected with Wicca. These things are all connected. And how they see so many Christians as, well, basically people who really don't practice their religion. So they look on so many Christians as being hypocrites.
That's right. In fact, you can read about the approach that some Wiccans have to Christianity. And it's pretty amazing. Some of them will say that Christianity has stolen parts of their religion,
yeah,
because Christianity has kind of taken it all in and syncretized different beliefs from paganism, and it's become a part of Christianity. And they'll say, no, they're not really, those Christians, they stole part of my religion.
He said this very same thing.
Is that right?
When he was a pagan, he felt like sometimes Christians were stealing, and he used specifically the fact that even the name Easter comes from the name itself comes from the pagan goddess Ishtar.
Right.
And he said, why were you stealing my religion? Now he's a Christian, of course, and sees things quite differently.
Isn't that amazing? Well, God certainly condemned it, and you can see he condemned the fact that Christians would bring in all of this evil and make it a part of Christianity. He said, you can't have a part of that. That's not my way.
Which really brings us to, what does the Bible say about the occult?
Well, witchcraft, sorcery in the Bible. Look at the Old Testament. The Old Testament condemns it. God told Israel, don't have anything to do with it. I mean, look at Exodus 22:18. They're not to go to someone who's going to consult a medium, go find somebody that's going to talk to demons or talk to dabble in magic and all those kinds of things. He said, you do that, you're going to be cut off from my people. So don't go to somebody that deals with, the Bible calls, familiar spirits. God says that's prostituting yourself if you do that sort of thing. And so man, woman, sorcerer, sorceress, witch, warlock, whatever it is, don't have anything to do with them. In Israel, God said, if they do that, stone them to death. Don't have anything to do with them, because he could understand how it would pervert his people. And so God knew the spirit world was a real thing, that you know, we're battling wicked spirits in high places, and God didn't want his people to have anything to do with it.
I think that's what a lot of people don't want to come to grips with, is that there really are demons, they are fallen angels, and they are evil, and they want to manipulate and destroy human beings.
And it's not an Old Testament thing. It's not just that. It's a New Testament thing. Paul, Peter, the apostle said, we are battling these wicked spirits. And it's not just these minor little demons here that I can control with some charm. We're battling the author of evil, if you want to call Satan that. Satan is the author of evil and father of lies. And so we are battling that. But Paul saw that as a real battle, a spiritual battle that we're fighting. And so God doesn't want us to get involved in that in any way.
We've got more to talk about, but we're up against a break. We'll be right back.
You can know the cause of this world's problems and the underlying reason for so many of the difficulties you face in your own life. Our free booklet, Is There Really a Devil?, will help you understand the real cause of all these evils, and more importantly, what you can do about it. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil? Ask for your copy today by calling 1-800-966-9232.
Welcome back to Good News Radio. We're quickly going through our time here. We have so much to talk about. We're joined by Pastor Steve Myers. We've been talking about the occult. We mentioned a little bit in the last segment what the Old Testament has to say about it. But sorcery, witchcraft, demonism is also a very important issue in the New Testament, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It deals with it very specifically. It's not just something that's a fantasy world. It's not a Hollywood thing. The apostles saw it as a real threat to real Christians. And so when the apostles went and preached the gospel, they saw the effects of Wicca. The pagan version of it, they saw the effects of sorcery. They saw the effects of the evil spiritual world. And so repeatedly and over and over again, Christ himself dealt with demons. And he wanted to keep his people free from that effect. And so you can follow Christ's examples of that. You can follow the disciples as well, as in the book of Acts, when they had to deal with those that were diviners, you know, those that were associated with that in the Roman world in the first century. It was all over the place in Rome. In Ephesus as well, those who practiced black magic were told, get rid of it, reject it, don't have anything to do with it. That's Acts 19:19. It says, they actually brought their books, which would be like bringing your modern day sorcery book, and bringing it over and throwing it in, because they were converted. They became converted. They wanted to follow God. So what did they do in the book of Acts? Acts 19:19 says those who practice magic brought their books and they burned them in the sight of everybody, because they understood the value of following what Christ taught. not getting involved in that sort of thing, coming out of that whole world.
Can you imagine in our society a church having a book burning where they bring together sorcery books and burn them? It would seem almost fanatic.
Well, it did. They did that with some of the Harry Potter books. Some groups got together and they saw that there were threats by it, you know, that was leading people into that world. Not necessarily that it wasn't entertainment, because there was entertaining, but that there was an evil side to it. And they came off as fanatics. That's what they came off as, because people didn't see it. They didn't compare what their Bible actually says to letting children become involved in that. And so, you know, sometimes people misunderstand how you can be brought into it in a seemingly innocent way.
Well, you know, many, as you were talking about the white magic, many Wiccans and neo-pagans would claim that what they're doing is not a gateway to Satan. But is it really a gateway to Satan?
Of course it is. It has to be. We kid ourselves if we think there isn't a battle between evil forces and good. Not that there's any chance evil is going to win against God Almighty, because there is no chance that he'll win. But that doesn't mean that Satan and his demons aren't crazy enough to think they can. And so, yes, there is a spiritual battle going on. The Bible says very plainly there is good and evil. And so many human beings suffer because of the effects of evil in their lives. And so it can be a gateway, in the sense that if this becomes acceptable, then where does it go from there? Well, then, very similar in the Harry Potter books, very innocent beginnings, but as you go on and get further into it, it becomes more and more sorcery, more and more spells, more and more of the evil aspects of things come out, using reality as a base, and it draws you in more and more, because then, I mean, just look at the numbers of Wicca. How have these things affected their numbers? It's increased dramatically.
Oh, and especially among young teenagers.
It's the young. That's right. They're impressionable, and it's interesting, and it's exciting, and there's power involved. And so when you put those ingredients together, it's going to bake up something that's very, very dangerous.
You know, parents really need to be aware of this. I mean, let's face it, young people are attracted to stories of cosmic battles between good and evil, and I think all human beings are. Where we're even caught in the middle ourselves, in our own minds, this constant battle between good and evil. There is a reality of a battle between good and evil.
Right.
And you know, Christians believe that.
And our world doesn't want to admit that. You know, we want to make everything kind of gray.
Yes.
We don't want black and white. We don't want to say this is bad and this is good. We want to, this is kind of okay. You know, it's all right. But what a representation of Satan's way. He counterfeits everything. And so he wants to counterfeit God's purpose. If you can receive power through spells and chants and those kinds of things, what do you need God for? What do you need God for? What do you need his plan for? What do you need his way? Why do you have to live that way if you can achieve it, you know, by this other means? And so he counterfeits God's way over and over and over again. And so here, witches and sorcery and magic all become part of our experience then, that can lead us further into it. And so how is that going to impact our kids? What are they going to think when they confront real evil?
And think that real evil is acceptable.
Right.
I mean, that's a real danger.
That is it. That is it. It blurs the lines between what God says, truth. You know, Christ said the truth will set you free. Well, if you're not sure what truth is, it's going to blur all those lines, and it's going to become undetermined on how we figure this whole thing out.
Well, then how should Christians respond to this societal obsession with the occult? Because it really is.
Well, I think we have to see it for what it is. We have to look at it. We have to realize, what does God think about it? We have to look at what his real purpose is. We don't understand it, but Isaiah said it maybe best. Isaiah 1:3, it says, Israel doesn't know, my people don't consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They've forsaken the Lord. You want to talk about black and white? That's pretty black and white. What about our society? Do we accept evil in society today? Well, yeah, we do.
Everything's gray.
Everything is gray. And so Isaiah says the whole head is sick and the heart's faint, right from the top to the bottom. The sole of the foot to the head, there's no soundness. Hollywood? What's reality? Is it sound? Is it really truth?
You know, these are tough words, but the bottom line is Christians are required by God to cry out to an evil society and say, this is wrong. Not by our standards, not because we made it up, because God says so.
That's right. God says so. So what is our value system? How do you judge things? You judge it by the Word of God. That's truth. And when you want to look at it, that's the hard line. It comes down to that. What is truth and what is not? Hollywood would have us believe that, you know, it's all fun, it's all exciting, it's all entertainment. But when you package evil in a fancy cover, it doesn't change the fact that it is evil. And so God says you're blessed if you do His will, do His commandments.
Seems like every time you're here, we run out of time so quickly, we never get to get through everything. But I appreciate you being here today.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
You can know the cause of this world's problems and the underlying reason for so many of the difficulties you face in your own life. Our free booklet, Is There Really a Devil?, will help you understand the real cause of all these evils, and more importantly, what you can do about it. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil? Ask for your copy today by calling 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.